So Kamala Harris, y'all. Kamala, commie Kamala Harris. Let's get into the speech. I'm gonna speed it up at 1.25 so that we can get through all of it. And then I'm gonna break it down to y'all from a C student's perspective. And again, chat, make sure that y'all have a long leash, moderators. Anybody that disagrees with us is fine. It doesn't matter if they agree or disagree, as long as they're not overly disrespectful. We rocking. I appreciate y'all. Make sure y'all tap into the Patreon. Link is in the description. Let's get into it, y'all.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Okay, let's get to business. Let's get to business. All right. So let me start by thanking my most incredible husband, Doug, an incredible father to Cole and Ella, and happy anniversary, Dougie. I love you so very much.
We already laughed at Doug's corniness yesterday about, you know, his whole testament of how I met my wife and how I love my life. And I was leaving her voicemails and saying, teach me how to Dougie. Teach me, Doug. We already did that. We not going to do that. We getting straight to business today, y'all.
To our President Joe Biden. Together, Joe, I am filled with gratitude. Your record is extraordinary, as history will show, and your character is inspiring. And Doug and I love you and Jill and are forever thankful to you both.
Now, word on the street is that Joe Biden only flew in to give his little recommended speech that he had to do, because if he didn't do it, then it would look funny. And so that was the word on the street, that he flew in on Monday and he flew back out on Monday right after the speech. So they say that Joe Biden is actually bitter about how they forced him out. But neither here nor there. He didn't know that the person that he brought in for diversity, equity, and inclusion in order to win the black vote, let alone the black woman vote, was ultimately going to be the person that pushed him out. The very same person sometimes that you bring into your home that you think is going to be the person that helps you get over the hump, your help meet, could be the very end of you. It could be your demise. Let me say that again for the people in the back. The word out there, I can't substantiate this, but there are rumors that are resonating out there that's saying that Joe Biden is pissed about getting pushed out. And the very person that he brought in order to win the black vote, is the very person that pushed him out.
And to Coach Jim Walls, put your faith in our campaign.
Some of all these crying.
Your support is humbling. So, America, the path that led me here in recent weeks was no doubt unexpected, but I'm no stranger to unlikely journeys. So my mother, our mother, Shamala Harris, had one of her own, and I miss her every day, and especially right now. And I know she's looking down smiling. The world alone, traveling from India to California with an unshakable dream to be the scientist who would cure breast cancer. When she finished school, she was supposed to return home to a traditional arranged marriage. But as fate would have it, she met my father, Donald Harris, a student from Jamaica. They fell in love and got married, and that act of self-determination made my sister Maya and me.
So her father is officially, according to her words, from Jamaica. Her mother is from, what, India? All right, we here.
Growing up, we moved a lot. I will always remember that big Mayflower truck packed with all our belongings, ready to go to Illinois, to Wisconsin, and wherever our parents' jobs took us. My early memories of our parents together are very joyful ones. A home filled with laughter and music, Aretha, Coltrane, and Miles. At the park, my mother would say, "Stay close." But my father would say, as he smiled, "Run, Kamala, run. Don't be afraid. Don't let anything stop you." From my early...
I'm going to do minimal stopping until we get to the part that's really going to be impactful. I'm going to just play it straight out, and then we're going to get to the parts that we need to talk about.
earliest years, he taught me to be fearless. But the harmony between my parents did not last. When I was in elementary school, they split up. And it was mostly my mother who raised us. Before she could finally afford to buy a home, she rented a small apartment in the East Bay. In the Bay, you either live in the hills or the flatlands. We lived in the flats. A beautiful working class neighborhood of firefighters, nurses, and construction workers.
What did I tell y'all? Yep, this is at 1.25. What did I tell y'all that every single politician does? They all give you this endearing story to help you realize that they're one of you. And so because they're one of you, they have your best interests at heart. Conversely, I know that there's a lot of people that grew up in my neighborhood that was absolute demons and monsters. And if you had ever given them power or money, they would destroy the world. So every single politician has the same pitch for you guys. We're one of you. I can identify with what you're going through. I grew up in the flats. I was this. I was that. It's the politician playbook 101 is to tell a story. Her husband, Doug, did it yesterday. They all have done it. Barack did it. Michelle did it. They all do it for every single speech. They do it on the Republican side and they do it on the Democrat side. But every single speaker that I've reviewed has all given you the same pitch every single time. Every time. I'm one of you before they start to release whatever it is that they say that they want to do. So let's get to it, y'all.
All who tended their lawns with pride. My mother, she worked long hours. And like many working parents, she leaned on a trusted circle to help raise us. Mrs. Shelton, who ran the daycare below us and became a second mother. Uncle Sherman,
I'm one
Aunt
of you.
Mary, Uncle Freddie, Auntie Chris. None of them family by blood, and all of them family by love. How to play chess, and sometimes even let us win. Family who loved us, believed in us, and told us we could be anything.
You could be anything you want to do.
Community, faith, and the importance of treating others as you would want to be treated, with kindness, respect, and compassion. My mother was a brilliant, 5-foot-tall, brown woman with an accent.
And it's specific why they say brown woman. She's not going to say Indian, whatever, so on and so forth. Brown woman with an accent. Listen, man, this stuff is all strategic. This is not by happenstance. They didn't just not use a thesaurus, so they did not use and go and find out the synonym for this word. She did not say she was an Indian woman. She was a brown, meaning woman of color, with an accent. I got to break this down from a C student's perspective for y'all so that y'all truly understand how they're programming you to think and identify with them so that you'll ultimately vote the way that they want you to vote. She was a 5-foot-tall, brown woman with an accent. That is literally how she's describing it. Remember that.
As the eldest child, I saw how the world would sometimes treat her. But my mother never lost her cool. She was tough. Courageous, a trailblazer in the fight for women's health. And she taught Maya and me a lesson that Michelle mentioned the other night. She taught us to never complain about injustice, but do something about it. Do something about it. That was my mother. And she also taught us, and never do anything half-assed. And that is a direct quote. I grew up immersed in the ideals of the civil rights movement. My parents had met at a civil rights gathering, and they made sure that we learned about civil rights leaders, including the lawyers like Thurgood Marshall and...
Oh, my God. Jesus, Lord, have mercy. This is so sickening. And they made sure they taught us and sat us down to learn about all of the civil rights leaders, including the lawyers, which is probably going to. And remember, I haven't heard his speech. I've only seen a little clip and a highlight. It probably inspired her to be a lawyer and also want to be a part of the justice system because I'm such a good person.
Constance Baker Motley, those who battled in the courtroom to make real the promise of America. So at a young age, I decided I wanted to do that work. I wanted to be a lawyer. And when it came time to choose the type of law I would pursue, I reflected on a pivotal moment in my life. You see, when I was in high school, I started to notice something about my best friend, Wanda.
Yep.
She was sad.
Now we're going to get into my best friend was abused, and so we had to take her in. And so that inspired me to really want to get into the justice system and change things because I want to fight for the lesser thans. Where have we heard this speech before? We heard this at all of the rallies.
At school. And there were times she didn't want to go home. So one day I asked if everything was all right. And she confided in me that she was being sexually abused by her stepfather. And I immediately told her she had to come stay with us, and she did. This is one of the reasons I became a prosecutor, to protect people like Wanda, because I believe everyone has a right to safety, to dignity, and to justice. As a prosecutor, when I had a case, I charged it not in the name of the victim, but in the name of the people. For a simple reason, in our system of justice, a harm against any one of us is a harm against all of us.
Wonder when we heard that speech before.
And I would often explain this to console survivors of crime, to remind them no one should be made to fight alone. We are all in this together. And every day in the courtroom, I stood proudly before a judge and I said five words: Kamala Harris for the people. And to be clear, my entire career, I've only had one client, the people.
Translation, I've never actually worked for any private organization, and I don't understand how anything works because I've always been paid by the taxpayers. That's what that means, okay?
And so, on behalf of the people, on behalf of every American, regardless of party, race, gender, or the language your grandmother speaks, on behalf of my mother and everyone who has ever set out on their own unlikely journey, on behalf of Americans like the people I grew up with, people who work hard, chase their dreams, and look out for one another, on behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination to be President of the United States of America.
Do y'all realize that literally in 2019, and just 6 months ago, she had the lowest rating for any vice president in our lifetime? As we go through this speech, I just want to show y'all how easy it is. And this is why I'm such a fan of people that reinvent themselves. In one year, and I say this all the time, you can turn your whole life around and be a completely different person. If Kamala Harris can do it in less than 6 months to go from in 2019, getting absolutely destroyed by Tulsi Gabbard, to not even being or getting any votes or nominations to be president of the United States of America, to being handpicked in order to win the black vote, a diversity, equity, and inclusion pick, to now being nominated after pushing the very person that handpicked her up and pulled her up and pushing him out, and not even having to go through a primary, to then winning the nomination, her accepting your nomination for possible president of the United States of America is astounding. That is amazing. And this is why I believe There's no way that you'll ever be able to convince me that you cannot reinvent yourself. I don't care if you was a monster. You could have been the monster of monsters. Listen, Diddy coming back. I believe in Diddy. I believe in Diddy. There's no way you cannot tell me after the rebrand and after leaving the borders open and people's memories are so short. They have literally come in and reinvented, taken over neighborhoods, apartment buildings, and the cities, the sanctuary cities that they invaded, the blue cities, they still gonna vote blue. Because our memories are so short. And I don't know if everybody was just in room 9 and they let them all out, but the memories are so short that you cannot tell me that nobody, and I mean nobody on this earth, cannot reinvent themselves to be whatever it is that they want to be seen as in the eyes of the American people. If she could do it right now and push out Biden, you can do it. You can reinvent yourself and become whatever you want to become. You want to be a mermaid? You could be a mermaid. Don't worry about it. Next year, you can wind up being a council member. You can become a senator. You can become a congressperson. You can ultimately even become president of the United States of America. There is no limits. Even though you used to be a mermaid, even though you, maybe you were a merman. Maybe you used to date Cassie. I don't know. What I do know is that no matter what, in any way, shape, or form, you can reinvent yourself. My money is on Diddy. Take that, take that.
Our nation with this election has a precious, fleeting opportunity to move past the bitterness, cynicism, and divisive battles of the past, a chance to chart a new way forward. Not as members of any one party or faction, but as Americans. And let me say, I know there are people of various political views watching tonight, and I want you to know, I promise to be a president for all Americans. You can always trust me to put country above party and self, to hold sacred America's fundamental principles, from the rule of law to free and fair elections to the peaceful transfer of power. Be a president who unites us around our highest aspirations, a president who leads and listens, who is realistic, practical, and has common sense, and always fights for the American people. From the courthouse to the White House, that has been my life's work. As a young courtroom prosecutor in Oakland, California.
Oh, we know what I took on the big banks. I took on the pharmaceutical companies. Honest to God, I have not seen the speech. I have no clue what she's going to say. I just paused it because I want to have predictive learning. I am an AI bot when it comes to listening to Tim Walz and Kamala Harris. I'm willing to bet this $45,000 rose gold presidential Rolex that she's probably going to say I either took on the big banks or the pharmaceutical companies. Maybe I shouldn't bet it. Maybe she'll say something different. I don't know. I have no clue what's going to happen right now. Let's see if I would have lost my watch.
I stood up for women and children against predators who abuse them.
Okay, so I was wrong.
As Attorney General of California, I took on the big banks.
I was right. Oh my God. Give me my watch back. You're not going to take my watch. Give me my watch back. Give me my mother effing watch back. I was right. Yes, I was. Give me my watch back. I was right.
Delivered $20 billion from middle-class families who faced foreclosure and helped pass a homeowner bill of rights, one of the first of its kind in the nation. I stood up for veterans and students being scammed by big-for-profit colleges. For workers who are being cheated out of their wages, the wages they were due.
I heard all of this before.
Who traffic in guns and dirty of our communities. And I will tell you, these fights were not easy. And neither were the elections that put me in those offices. We were underestimated.
Somebody said I watched. How did I watch? I was on after hours, so almost 2 a.m. And then I had to go to sleep, wake up, record a video, prep for this. Listen, ain't nobody had time to pre-watch this. And when I could react to it in real time, don't feel some type of way about it. Give me your watch. I want your watch. You better watch against me. Give me your watch.
At practically every turn. But we never gave up. Because the future is always worth fighting for. And that's the fight we are in right now. A fight for America's future. Fellow Americans, this election is not only the most important of our lives, it is one of the most important in the life of our nation.
In many ways, we're getting there, y'all. We're getting there.
Donald Trump is an unserious man. But the consequences of putting Donald Trump back in the White House are extremely serious. Consider not only the chaos and calamity when he was in office, but also the gravity of what has happened since he lost the last election. Donald Trump tried to throw away your votes. When he failed, he sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol.
The amount of lying in this is egregious. The amount of lying in this is egregious. He sent an armed mob to the Capitol. How can presidential candidates get away with this? So they just gonna say that and then y'all just gonna let that fly? Y'all acting like y'all wasn't prospering and winning and bagging it up and running it up? I retired in 2019 after Donald Trump's presidency. I was able to retire after Trump's presidency. They just gonna sit here and lie to y'all and say he sent a bunch of people. Come on, fam. Come on, man. Come on, dog. Come on, man. Come on, we gonna endure through it. We gotta get through this, y'all.
Where they assaulted law enforcement officers. When politicians in his own party begged him to call off the mob and send help, he did the opposite. He fanned the flames. And now, for an entirely different set of crimes, he was found guilty of fraud by a jury of everyday Americans and separately found liable for committing sexual abuse. And consider what he...
Is anybody ever going to ask her? Because it's been literally over a year now since we've discovered this. Is anybody, any reporter, anybody close to her, is anybody ever going to have the question and ask the pertinent questions? My number one question to her is, why was Andre Dickens and Fannie Willis listed as going to visit the White House, specifically the vice president, the Fulton County District Attorney, and the mayor of Atlanta, and then they flew back to Atlanta and file charges, 91 charges against Trump in order to influence the election? Is anybody ever going to answer that question? Is anybody ever going to have a conversation? Not one person is ever going to answer that question. Are we ever going to get that answer to that question? Does anybody have the balls to ask her, any reporter in the world, if you ever sit with Kamala Harris, if she ever do an interview with you, will you ever in your life ask her the question and say, how is it that you guys manufactured this thing? And why does it show that they unceremoniously, unscripted, go and visited you? Because the security logs have to be, that's public information that was basically disclosed during Fani Willis's trial, during her questioning. Is anybody ever going to ask that question, or are we just going, that's just gone? Nobody. Nobody.
Tends to do if we give him power again. Consider his explicit intent to set free violent extremists who assaulted those law enforcement officers at the Capitol. His explicit intent to jail journalists, political opponents, and anyone he sees as the enemy. His explicit intent to deploy our...
See how they have to use certain words and they say intent, his intent to? Because all of this is lies and he never did it. And he's never done any of this stuff. He was in office for 4 years. I know he freed Kodak Black. He freed Kwame Kilpatrick. He freed a lot of people. Kwame sat on my couch in my studio and said, listen, man, they don't have no ties to me whatsoever. They ain't never asked me for nothing. They ain't asked me for an endorsement. They ain't asked me to stunt for him. He just had mercy on me. And when Black people were calling for my head, he said, listen, unexpectedly got a phone call. And he said, listen, you can go home tomorrow. Regardless of what y'all think he did, regardless of his crimes, regardless of what happened, Lil Wayne, you see, they ain't got, Kamala Harris and them ain't going over and talking to Lil Wayne about using his music. They went and talked to Beyonce. More Black people was getting out of jail than ever before. But his intent...
active duty military against our own citizens. Consider the power he will have, especially after the United States Supreme Court just ruled that he would be immune from criminal prosecution. Just imagine Donald Trump with no guardrails and how he would use the immense powers of the presidency of the United States. Not.
Well, he already had them. He already had the powers. What are you talking about?
Life, not to strengthen our national security, but to serve the only client he has ever had, himself. Like it's all laid out in Project 2025, written by his closest advisors, and its sum total is to pull our country back to the past. But America, we are not going back.
And isn't it interesting that, again, Democrats have controlled the presidency for the last 12 of 16 years. 12 of the last 16 years has been all in the control of the Democrats. And even when Trump was in office, he still couldn't get anything done because he had to fight with all of these other legislative branches, including Congress. So essentially, Democrats have been in power for some of you guys' entire adult life. For some of you guys' entire adult life, they've been in power. And you tell me how that's worked out for you outside of the years that Trump was in office.
We are not going back to when Donald Trump tried to cut.
And that man right there.
We are not going back.
First of all, you got the worst, hold on, let me show y'all who's here. Worst governor in America. Worst governor in America. Anybody in California, you know I'm telling the truth. Worst governor in America.
We are not going back.
He looked like he got a lisp. I know a lisp when I see it. That man talked with a lisp. Whoever this person is right here, he talks with a lisp. And the one thing I know about people that talk with a lisp, not all, but it's, let me just stay away. Let's get through this speech, y'all.
Back to when Donald Trump tried to cut Social Security and Medicare. We are not going back to when he tried to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, when insurance companies could deny people with pre-existing conditions. We are not going to let him eliminate the Department of Education that funds our public schools. We are not going to let him end programs like Head Start that provide preschool and childcare for our children. America, we are not going back. We are charging forward to a future.
I want to get to her policies. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Strong and growing middle class, because we know a strong middle class has always been critical to America's success. And building that middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency. Class is where I come from. My mother kept a strict budget.
Told you. Wanted to identify with you. Now they're going to start having conversations with you.
We lived within our means, yet we wanted for little. And she expected us to make the most of the opportunities that were available to us and to be grateful for them. Because, as she taught us, opportunity is not available to everyone. That's why we will create what I call an opportunity economy where everyone has the chance to compete and a chance to succeed.
I'm saying there were no policies. We'll get to it. We'll find out.
You live in a rural area, small town, or big city. And as president, I will bring together labor and workers and small business owners and entrepreneurs and American companies to create jobs, to grow our economy, and to lower the cost of everyday needs like health care and housing and groceries. We will provide access to...
Not with that bullshit that she said over there the other day. Because whatever it was that she was talking about the other day, you can go ahead and throw that away. If that was her the four pillars that we talked about, you can throw it away.
Capital for small business owners and entrepreneurs and founders. And we will end America's housing shortage and protect Social Security and Medicare. Now compare that to Donald Trump. Because I think everyone here knows he doesn't actually fight for the middle class. He doesn't actually fight for the middle class. Instead, he fights for himself and his billionaire friends.
Same speech.
And he will give them another round of tax breaks that will add up to $5 trillion to the national debt. And all the while, he intends to enact what in effect is a national sales tax, call it a Trump tax, that would raise prices on middle class families by almost $4,000 a year. Well, instead of a Trump tax hike, we will pass a middle-class tax cut that will benefit more than 100 million Americans.
I want to hear the how. I want to get to the how.
Friends, I believe America cannot...
So there's no how? Just empty talk?
...truly be prosperous unless Americans are fully able to make their own decisions about their own lives, especially on matters of heart and home. But tonight, in America, too many women are not able to make those decisions. And let's be clear about how we got here. Donald Trump handpicked members of the United States Supreme Court to take away reproductive freedom.
And that- Again, I want y'all to remember and pay attention to the wording here. Reproductive freedom. Reproductive freedom means you can go and have an abortion. That's what it means. Let me say it again for the people in the back. Planned Parenthood, and I couldn't believe it until I seen it and I did my own research and I started looking at a lot of these different videos and on the ground footage of what was happening at the Democratic National Convention. Planned Parenthood, they got the little things out there, the floaties that do like this. And if the wind keep going that way too much like this, then it start doing like this. And once the wind start picking up on the left, it start doing like this again. They got the Planned Parenthood floaties out there at the Democratic National Convention. In mobile vans, is people outside with bullhorns on saying, listen, come out of the van. It's not too late. They at the Democratic National Convention. This is demonic. This is literally demonic. We are living in demonic times where people are doing some of the worst things and advocating for some of the dumbest stuff that I've ever seen in my entire life. And so when they say reproductive freedom, this is what specifically they're talking about.
Now he brags about it. In his words, quote, "I did it and I'm proud to have done it," end quote. Well, I'll tell you, over the past 2 years, I've traveled across our country and women have told me their stories. Husbands and fathers have shared theirs. Stories of women miscarrying in a parking lot, developing sepsis, losing the ability to ever again have children, all because doctors are afraid they may go to jail for caring for their patients. Couples just trying to grow their family, cut off in the middle of IVF treatments. Children who have survived sexual assault, potentially being forced to carry a pregnancy to term.
I hate these people, man. Honest to God, I do. I am developing a level of aggravation that is unprecedented in my lifetime. The Republican Party and Donald Trump specifically, even during the national debate, and how short people's memories are is insane to me, obviously agreed that rape and incest and special circumstances, that is something that nobody disagrees with. Now, I don't know one person that disagrees with it personally, and they've publicly professed it. The only thing that the Republican Party said is, listen, we don't like it, but we also don't believe the federal government should play a role in what happens with women's bodies. That should be on a state level. The individual people within those states should vote on what goes on within their states. That's it. That's it. They fearmonger y'all so much. I can't wait to do some street interviews. I can't wait to get back to the city and do some street interviews. I can't stand these people. I cannot stand these people. I genuinely can't stand the lies that these people tell.
This is what's happening in our country because of Donald Trump. And understand, he is not done. As a part of his agenda, he and his allies would limit access to birth control, ban medication abortion, and enact a nationwide abortion ban with or without Congress. And get this. Get this. He plans to create a national anti-abortion coordinator and force states Jesus to report Christ on women's miscarriages and abortions. Simply put, they are out of their minds.
I'm amazed. I am seriously amazed.
And one must ask,
this is a fallen country. This is a fallen country, but we'll get to that.
One must ask, why exactly is it that they don't trust women? Well, we trust women.
I don't.
We trust women.
I don't. I don't. You do? The Bible said no. No, no, no. Let me tell you something. King James Version of the Bible. In Genesis, in the beginning, I trust women to go and talk to the serpent. That's what I trust. Listen, I don't care what y'all say. Y'all could feel how y'all want to feel. Y'all could think what y'all want to think. I am not in any way, shape, and form ever going to advocate for a woman to lead me. Say what you want, frame it how you want to. I don't care what you think. I stand firm in my principles and in my beliefs. I am never going to advocate for a woman to lead me. Ever, ever, ever.
And when Congress passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom, as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law. The freedom to live safe from gun violence in our schools, communities, and places of worship. The freedom to love who you love openly and with pride. The freedom to breathe clean air and drink clean water and live free from the pollution that fuels the climate crisis. and the freedom that unlocks all the others, the freedom to vote. With this election, we...
The freedom to vote? All they said was bring your ID so we can make sure you're not an illegal immigrant that's casting fake votes.
Finally, have the opportunity to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act. Let me be clear. After decades in law enforcement, I know the importance of safety and security, especially at our border. Last year.
Okay. So we just gonna gaslight? We in gaslight mode? Okay. All right. Well, then listen. Y'all want to go left? Then let's go all the way left.
Joe and I brought together Democrats and conservative Republicans to write the strongest border bill in decades.
And you know I'm going to debunk this ASAP.
The Border Patrol endorsed it.
Hold on, wait.
To write the strongest. Last year, Joe and I brought...
Last year. Let's put this all in perspective. Last year, 2023. End of 2023. The border been open... Since y'all got into office, they had more people illegally cross the border in the first 2 years of them being in office, the first 3 years of them being in office, than the entire last 10 years combined. That's a fact. That's not my opinion. That's not a Republican talking point. That's not a conservative view. These are pure facts. They've had more people illegally cross the border over in this term. It's insane. Last year? You mean after y'all sued Texas in order to make sure that they continue to open up their borders to let more people in? You mean after the sanctuary cities? You mean after New York? You mean after Chicago? You mean after Los Angeles? You mean after Houston? You mean after Atlanta? After they was hiding them in the airport in Boston? What the Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Y'all gonna let her gaslight y'all? Seriously?
Together, Democrats and conservative Republicans to write the strongest border bill in decades. The Border Patrol endorsed it. But Donald Trump believes a border deal would hurt his campaign. So he ordered his allies in Congress to kill the deal.
No, I'm a debunker,
refused
right?
To play politics with our security. And here is my pledge to you. As president, I will bring back the bipartisan border security bill that he killed, and I will sign it into law.
All right, so let me just give y'all a little bit of education for those of y'all that's been sleep at the wheel that votes based off of identity politics, okay? You don't need a bipartisan border agreement in order to protect our borders. You don't. All you got to do is allow for them to actually do their job. And instead of saying, hey, process every single person in here and put them on buses and let them choose a city that they want to go to as the borders are, because you were in charge of the border over the last 3.5 years. How come they couldn't get anything done the entire time? And let me also be very clear. He didn't kill the deal. What they did was they said, we need to separate how we continue to fund Homeland Security, because they all tried to package it in at the same time. So what y'all said y'all didn't want is continuing to fund the wars over in Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and giving billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars over to there, and also overly contributing into NATO, in which it doesn't serve our best interests, because we fund 80 to 85% of what's happening in NATO. So that's what y'all said that y'all didn't want. So what they said was, we're going to package it in all one big deal, and we're going to call it a bipartisan border agreement. And if y'all don't sign it, then what we going to do is we going to tell the American people, no, Donald Trump killed that bill because it would jeopardize his presidency. No. We don't want no new wars. We don't want to continue to fund new wars. And we don't want a bipartisan deal to where we're giving you money to continue to fund the wars in order to get funding to continue to improve our border security. It's two separate issues. It's two separate, because they gonna just throw this in there in y'all face. Do y'all know that I actually have people that come up on my panel sometimes and say, well, why did Trump kill the border deal? You fool. Do your research before you start to come up there and ask dumb questions. They didn't kill the border deal. They killed continuing to try to give money over into Ukraine as far as making this a packaged issue. instead of separating it. Because they trying to finesse y'all. They always trying to throw something in there to benefit themselves instead of just doing what the American people want. We want secure borders. Why that got to be a bipartisan deal? That's your job. That's your job. And they fought Trump the entire time of his presidency in order to make our borders even more secure. And they championed Obama. Let me stop, bro.
I know we can live up to our proud heritage as a nation of immigrants and reform our broken immigration system. We can create an earned pathway to citizenship and secure our border.
Then how come they didn't do it? How come they didn't do it? If we can do it, then why didn't they do it? Y'all had 3.5 years. As a matter of fact, y'all been in office for 12 of the last 16 years, and we had more people coming over into the border over the last 3.5 years than any time in history. Why didn't y'all do it? Why didn't they do it then?
And America, we must also be steadfast in advancing our security and values abroad. As Vice President, I have confronted threats to our security, negotiated with foreign leaders, strengthened our alliances, and engaged with our brave troops overseas.
Now, what she did was she went over to Ghana and the other African places in order to advocate for the alphabet community. That's a fact. Make me pull up the evidence.
As Commander-in-Chief, I will ensure America always has the strongest, most lethal fighting force in the world.
Who believe this?
And I will fulfill our sacred obligation to care for our troops and their families, and I will always honor and never disparage their service and their sacrifice.
Let me show y'all what she was doing, because a lot of people are not familiar and a lot of people just don't understand what's going on out in these streets. But I want to show y'all what was really happening as far as her talking to y'all national, international leaders. While Sudan is over there absolutely in turmoil, this is what she was doing.
Madam Vice President, you have made clear that the message of this trip is centered on a...
Remember, this was a little over a year ago. March 27th, 2023. This is her in her purple pantsuit.
Collaborative future. At the same time, the Biden administration committed to calling out any foreign government that advanced anti-gay legislation or violates human rights. All three of the countries that you are visiting on this trip.
I don't need no fact checkers. I can bring my... I'm the fact checker. I don't need no fact checkers. I'm the fact checker. We don't need no biased people that got an agenda on one side or the other. We just gonna pull up the videos. I'm the fact checker.
Have advanced or proposed anti-gay legislation. Ghana has proposed a bill that would imprison those that engage in same-sex intercourse. Gay sex remains a crime in Tanzania, and same-sex relationships are outlawed in Zambia. What have you said to the president and plan to say to other leaders on this trip about this crackdown on human rights?
I'll start. I have raised this issue, and let me be clear about where we stand. First of all, for the American press who are here, you know that a great deal of work in my career has been to address human rights issues, equality issues across the board, including as it relates to the LGBT community. And I feel very strongly about the importance of supporting the freedom and supporting and fighting for equality among all people, and that all people be treated equally. I will also say that this is an issue that we consider, and I consider, to be a human rights issue, and that will not change. The president and I had a conversation on this very topic, but the conversation was not about China as much as it is about the enduring and important direct relationship that the United States has with Ghana and with African nations. I will tell you that we are very clear, and I will speak for myself and on behalf of the Biden-Harris administration, that the relationship between the United States and this continent and African leaders is an important one. There's a historical basis for the relationship, not to mention as we look forward, as all governments should, and recognize the unachieved, as of yet, opportunities that exist going forward. The median age on the continent of Africa is 19. Think about what that means in terms of potential. Think about the fact that by 2050, 1 in 4 people occupying a place on Mother Earth will be on this continent. And what that means. The trip that I have taken to come here, being here, is about recognizing the incredible opportunity with a sense of optimism about what we do now and how it will impact the world going forward. So this trip and this relationship, yes, we are concerned with security. We are concerned with what is happening on the globe as a whole. We are clear-eyed about that. But this trip is motivated by the importance of the direct relationship between the United States and Ghana, and as I travel the continent, those countries as well.
Psycho word babble, word salad, and ultimately her pushing an agenda and saying, y'all better get with the program if you want the United States of America to continue to have this strengthening relationship, and we want y'all to continue to advocate for who? For who? On a worldwide basis, they want y'all to advocate for who? Come on. All we got to do is go and look at the videos. I know that y'all don't want to do the research. I know that y'all ain't trying to deep dive into it. I know that y'all not trying to have this conversation. I know that y'all don't want to be uncomfortable. They went over there. They promised aid. They promised investments. And they also wanted a requirement of them to do what? They pledged $139 million to Ghana to counter the ties that they had with China. And one of the requirements was what? One of the requirements was what? Ghana, the speaker over in Ghana started to slam them for their anti-LGBTQ bill. Oh, you don't believe me? Okay, so hold on 1 second. We're going to get back to that. Because y'all keep saying of what it is that she going to do and what her international relationship is with all of these places and stuff. It's all right there. Oh, okay. So I can't play that one. Anyways, let's get back to her speech. We want to get back to her speech.
I look at the future on space and artificial intelligence, that America, not China, wins the competition for the 21st century, and that we strengthen, not abdicate, our global leadership. Trump, on the other hand, threatened to abandon NATO. He encouraged Putin to invade our allies. Said Russia could, quote, do whatever the hell they want. 5 days before Russia attacked Ukraine, I met with President Zelensky to warn him about Russia's plan to invade. I helped mobilize a global response, over 50 countries, to defend against Putin's aggression. And as president, I will stand strong with Ukraine and our NATO allies.
This is so bad. Look at Ben Stiller. Look at Ben Big Head, Ozempic Head Stiller. I used to like his movies now. That's why he ain't making no movies no more. I liked Ben Stiller's movies back in the day. Reuben Pfeffer, Along Came Polly. I liked Along Came Polly.
With respect to the war in Gaza, President Biden and I are working around the clock. Because now is the time to get a hostage deal and a ceasefire deal done. And let me be clear. I will always stand up for Israel's right to defend itself. And I will always ensure Israel has the ability to defend.
She just got the protesters outside of the DNC, man.
itself, because the people of Israel must never again face the horror that a terrorist organization called Hamas caused on October 7th.
People just cheer. They don't even know what
sexual
that means.
Violence and the massacre of young people at a music festival. At the same time, what has happened in Gaza over the past 10 months is devastating. So many innocent lives lost. Desperate, hungry.
I would love for them to get involved in what's going on over in Sudan. Y'all know what's happening over in Sudan? The genocide that's happening in Sudan? Y'all don't care about that part? Don't worry about it. Let's continue.
People fleeing for safety over and over again. The scale of suffering is heartbreaking. President Biden and I are working to end this war such that Israel is secure, the hostages are released, the suffering in Gaza ends, and the Palestinian people can realize their right to dignity, security, freedom, and is necessary to defend our forces and our interests against Iran and Iran-backed terrorists. I will not cozy up to tyrants and dictators like Kim Jong-un who are rooting for Trump. Who are rooting for Trump. Because, you know, they know he is easy to manipulate with flattery and favors. They know Trump won't hold autocrats accountable because he wants to be an autocrat himself. And as president, I will never waver in defense of America's security and ideals, because in the enduring struggle between democracy and tyranny, I know where I stand and I know where the United States belongs.
Is this supposed to be them showing her as a strong leader?
I love our country with all my heart. Everywhere I go, in everyone I meet, I see a nation that is ready to move forward, ready for the next step in the incredible journey that is America. I see an America where we hold fast to the fearless belief that built our nation and inspired the world, that here, in this country, anything is possible, that nothing is out of reach. An America where we care for one another, look out for one another, and recognize that we have so much more in common than what separates us. That none of us has to fail for all of us to succeed.
You see the podium, the speech on the podiums?
And that in unity there is strength. You know, our opponents in this race are out there every day denigrating America, talking about how terrible everything is. Well, my mother had another lesson she used to teach. Never let anyone tell you who you are. You show them who you are. Let us show each other and the world who we are and what we stand for. Freedom, opportunity, compassion, dignity, fairness, and endless possibilities. We are the heirs to the greatest democracy in the history of the world. And on behalf of our children and our grandchildren and all those who sacrificed so dearly for our freedom and liberty, we must be worthy of this moment. It is now our turn to do what generations before us have done, guided by optimism and faith, to fight for this country we love, to fight for the ideals we cherish, and to uphold the awesome responsibility that comes with the greatest privilege on earth, the privilege and pride of being an American. So let's get out there. Let's fight for it. Let's get out there. Let's vote for it. And together, let us write the next great chapter in the most extraordinary story ever told.
Can't believe that a woman like this would even be considered president of the United States of America. I'm so broken. I am absolutely broken. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There you have your pitch on the Democratic side for president of the United States of America.